Thank you, John. Back here at 6:05 on your Thursday morning. Brian sits here today and tomorrow, 770 KTTH. The margin narrowed in the Sawant recall for those of you, you know, watching with a bowl of popcorn. The margin of for recall has narrowed to, I think, a little over 1% with more to be counted. But so the initial count was almost a 6-point gap. That's been narrowed. And as I said yesterday, you can attribute it to maybe recall her people hitting, you know, mailing it in, and then her supporters, you know, late to the game, dropping them off. We don't know. I have to say, I don't know what the margin of recall is for a Seattle City recall. I mean, this is the first in anyone's living memory. So we don't know what the automatic, if there is an automatic recall margin. You know, believe it or not, I mean, if you're around here in 2004, 2005, I mean, you know the deal. You know, for the gubernatorial election, there's an automatic recount. But it was amazing how narrow the margin was to trigger that. So I would imagine there should be for any election, but it doesn't matter. We'll find out. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter, but we'll find out. I'm just laughing because the CEO, the guy who this time last week fired 900 people on a Zoom call, now feels the need to apologize. I got to tell you, you know, you're the founder and CEO of your mortgage company, and you guys have just had this unicorn IPO and all that. You know, apparently you're doing something right. Then we find out that these are the people that he fired, and he says, oh, well, markets and efficiencies. Well, he fired them because they were the people who were the least productive. They you know, when you're using the company software at home, you know, you're working at home, they're, you know, it was a huge favor that they're doing to you because there's like a pandemic on and we all did it, the whole thing. They were finding that a lot of people were not productive. And so these are the people that are being fired. Well, once I find that out, it absolutely changes my opinion about him firing them remotely. I don't think he did it very artfully when he was talking about his feelings to a bunch of people that are sitting at home about to get laid off. But here's a bit of that.
Change, as you know, and we have to move with it in order to survive so that hopefully we can continue to thrive and deliver on a mission. This isn't news that you're going to want to hear, but ultimately it was my decision.
And then he talks about, oh, I hope I'm stronger. I had to do this before, and I cried, and blah, 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 blah. He gets to the thing about if you're on this call, I've got bad news for you.
And performances.
Performances.
And productivity.
And productivity.
If you're on this call.
Womp, womp. So that's, you know, when you get it. The guy's name is Vishal Garg, G-A-R-G. So prepare. I am Locutus of the Garg. Prepare to be assimilated. And, okay, you talk about efficiency. Firing 900 people on the same Zoom call. And so anyway, he's apologized, and I happen to think that, you know, once you ring that bell, you can't unring the bell. Just own it, and all that. We'll get to some of the numbers behind what you're going to hear today about homicides up in all these blue cities, major blue cities, and a very clarifying moment coming out of Philadelphia that I'll play for you a little later on this break. With the Soros-supported DA saying, never mind, nothing to see here, move along, there's no gun violence. Philly has the highest homicide rate since 1990. And the former mayor, two-term mayor, Nutter, African-American guy, he wrote a scathing op-ed about all the woke white people telling the black people what is good for them, and that what's good for them is just defunding the police. See, police are the problem. And then the homicide rate spikes. So wait till you hear that. I've got the op-ed. I'll repost it, by the way, at Dark Secret Place. So let's see a bill. This is, I'm guessing this is a thing that probably somebody listening, if you're in an automobile driving to work, which the majority of you listening to 770 KTTH. Hey there, Brian Suits here today and tomorrow. At some point, because car theft is up in the Puget Sound. But what's really interesting, you may not know this, or maybe your car was stolen and the next day it was located by the Popo, okay? And they did their investigation. You can come get it. But it's lacking a catalytic converter. And this is a real deal. People are stealing cars, you know, not to chop them up, but just to go somewhere private where they can take the catalytic converter. If you're unaware, there's platinum, palladium. There's a bunch of very valuable metals and alloys in that catalytic converter, which is, if you've ever had to have one replaced, you find that out the hard way. And they go to certain unscrupulous salvage yards in the region, and they will get cash for the catalytic converter. And like, it can be impressive cash. I mean, for a little bit of work. I stole a car, went two blocks with it. My buddy jacked it up. I went underneath there with a Sawzall, you know, cut two bits of pipe. And it drops, we go. And so there is a interesting law, and if and your insurance pays for it, okay? There's that. It still is annoying as hell to come outside and find your car gone. So a bill would introduce a waiting period. You can't just pull up, throw the cat converter out there. He gives you cash, and you drive off. So I think it's a great bill. I think it's a great bill. I was talking to, by the way, everyone, welcome staff of Brady. Brady, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Brian.
Because I don't say that, you know, you come to the door, you let me in, I don't say, hey, good morning, Brady. How you doing? I just walk by you. I assume you know when I call and say I'm out front that there's a good morning in there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I'm.
Either that or I'd get a text.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And people confuse my normally sunny disposition for an automatic. And don't. There is a good morning involved in everything I say to you initially. But I had that issue. And here's the crazy part about when mine was stolen is I went to a guy who I knew to be a good mechanic, fast and cheap. He, you know, because in this, people are finding out if you have body work to be done or parts to be replaced and you call and say, oh, yeah, it's a, you know, 2012 Sentra or whatever the deal is. They're like, yeah, oh, sure. I can get you in. How's February 25th for you? It's like morning or afternoon, huh? I mean, that's the old Soviet Union car delivery joke or plumber joke. No kidding, for body work, you know, collision work, mechanical work, stuff like that, long wait time. And that's, you know, that's got nothing to do with COVID or Trump or whatever. It's parts is what it is. So I had a bad catalytic converter. And since the guy's not in the listening area, I'll tell you this. I got a stolen catalytic converter installed in my automobile a couple months ago. And so frequently, as I knew, we were escaping from L.A. I did some reconnaissance trips because I didn't want to tip my hand to California that we were leaving. And so we're driving up. My daughter and I are driving up, and we hit Redding, which is like driving from Southern Oregon to KTTH on East Lake. We hit Redding, and all of a sudden the car has no power. It's just not accelerating. It's fine on level ground. And so I limp into Tacoma, take it to a Volvo guy in Tacoma, and he diagnoses it. Next day he goes, yeah, you need a new catalytic converter. And I said, that's impossible because it was just replaced about a month ago. And he goes, yeah, about that. Because, you know, they have serial numbers and stuff now. And he said, yeah, about that. Talk. And I go talk back. So he replaces it with a good legal catalytic converter, which turns out to not be California compliant. Because who knew? Who knew that catalytic converters are treated like AR-15s in California and it needs a thumb hole stock and all this? But so anyway, it's a big deal. And anywhere you have junkyards that will, no questions asked, buy it for cash, it's a big deal. All right, take a break. Speaking of your car not having any power, we'll be back in just a second. It's 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. Today and tomorrow, we'll get you to work with Right Way Traffic. John, 770 KTTH. Brian Suits in here today and tomorrow. We just saw, I was talking to Brady about this, that Facebook, and it'll always be the Facebook to me, but you know, Facebook has changed its name to Meta. And on every other network, they have this, you know, kind of, you know, trippy acid trip LSD commercial where it's a painting that becomes 3D and then animated. And it says Meta, and it has, you know, attractive, younger, diverse people who are the opposite of who's on Facebook, by the way. But at least they know their brand. But that's who they're trying to get. You know, they're trying to make Facebook all hip and cool and not sus. By the way, that's I learned all of the vernacular of the kids these days from my daughter. Sus is are you aged out of sus, Brady? Do you know what sus means?
Oh, sus means suspicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, it just because Facebook doesn't want to be all sus and junk to the millennials, they have that commercial on Red Zone. Well, not on Red Zone, but you know, on ESPN Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. You know, all over the place, every other channel. On Fox, they don't run that commercial. I don't even know if the people on Fox, if they've even said, oh, hi, we're Meta now. On Fox, because nobody trusts Facebook anymore, they have like an interview segment. And I'll play it for you later on, but it's like a one-minute segment where a Facebook engineer is talking about your privacy and the section 230 because Fox viewers know about this thing, this controversy about the so-called section 230 of the FCC code and all this, which applies to phone. You know, a phone company is not liable if I call you to conspire to kidnap your neighbor. You know, you can't sue AT&T, you know, right? That's what Section 230 is. But anyway, it's just interesting how they know their demographics and that the demographic they want is not on Fox, but the one they want to retain is on Fox. Okay, so you're going to be hearing about this all day, that as we finish out 2021, it's been a murderous year. And for people that just want to look on the surface of it, you're saying, oh well, people were they were locked up because of the pandemic. So really, you should blame Trump for mishandling the pandemic for the homicide rate and all this. A lot of it has to do with decriminalizing certain crimes, tolerating a whole bunch of crime that used to be a bunch of stuff as misdemeanor that used to be felony. And then there is a unavoidable pattern in the homicide city, in the increase of homicide cities. And it is, did George Soros support your DA when they ran for office? And across the country, Portland, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, these places with spikes, and I don't mean little bumps. Like, oh, well, you know, there was a Smith & Wesson delivery truck rollover and 185 Smith & Wesson M&Ps were scattered or whatever. You might say, all right, that was the event for, you know, your town, USA, having a sudden homicide rate. I don't know why. But the pattern is these are areas, counties, with big blue cities that have decriminalized or refused to prosecute criminals for doing crime. and that they've all spiked. Like in the case of Philadelphia, overall, across the country for the past 40 years, the homicide rate has gone down. You go back, you have to go way back. You got to go before 30 years ago. The homicide rate was above the suicide rate. And we thought that was normal, you know, for decades. Suicide seemed to be a fixed percentage of deaths per year, which, you know, a suicide is not a homicide. That's why it's a different word. But for instance, deaths by firearm, homicides were twice the suicides for years and years and years. And then even before three strikes, the crime rate, the homicide rate began to go down. Three strikes starts here in Washington because a guy, you know, the guy had an initiative and it was brilliant. California copied it, frankly, did it better. And the homicide rate in California fell off a cliff because, as it turns out, about 5% of California's criminals were doing like 80% of the homicides. So, whoa, look at that. You put them all in a couple places in California, and the homicide rate absolutely plummeted. So then pandemic comes along, and a bunch of blue states, they began to empty the prisons by reclassing crime. So suddenly, if you stole a $950 item, that was no longer a felony. It was a misdemeanor. And then they said, oh, look at that. I'm such a successful governor. The crime rate has dropped. No, your accounting of it has dropped. And so you get that. But the main deal was, for some reason, the evil George Soros, who fled Nazi oppression, came to the United States, who shorted the pound, nearly bankrupted the Queen's treasury, the Queen's exchequer, comes to this country, an immigrant who survived World War II, comes to this country and decides it's all effed up and he has to make it right by electing crazy people as DAs. And Philadelphia is one of them. And the increase in homicides is such a shock that the former mayor, Michael Nutter, had to write an op-ed yesterday because their DA, Krasner, Larry Krasner, a Democrat, when confronted with, oh, I said, what did I say, 1990? As of Tuesday night, 521 people sold. Well, this is from his op-ed. Anyway, bottom line, Philadelphia, highest homicide rate since 1960. Since 1960. Now listen, I'm old AF. I'm really old. I'm very old. But I'm not that old. I'm not that. The Beatles hadn't formed. Well, they had. Okay, technically they had formed. The highest homicide rate since 1960. Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland. They won't even come to your 911 call. What are these things? All what? None of these things are not like the other. They all have Soros-backed DAs. I mean, If you've seen the gang looting burglaries in San Francisco and L.A., there's a reason. It's because they're out. They don't even spend the night in the Juzgao because they're not going to be charged. They're literally going to be given a ticket to appear, notice to appear. I mean, literally. You heard about the giant mall robbery. LAPD caught up to 14 people 2 days later. They didn't even spend the night in jail. They were back out. Okay. The dude in San Francisco, Chesa Boudin, Bill Ayers, you know that guy, the guy who shaped Obama. Chesa Boudin was raised by Bill Ayers, the guy who barely is not in jail for life for bombing the Pentagon. The reason Chesa Boudin was raised by Bill Ayers is because his own mom and dad did get life in prison for bombing the Pentagon. But of course, he did a real 180 on his parents. He just became a communist. The DA in San Francisco, if you didn't know this, was Hugo Chavez's translator. That's how much of a commie he is. Now he's the DA of San Francisco, and what a shocker, crime is through the roof. So wait till you hear the pushback by a former mayor of Philadelphia, two-term mayor, black man, Democrat, against the white wokeness that is killing. Because by the way, if you're unaware, The majority of homicide victims are black. And former Mayor Michael Nutter has had it, and he's calling it what it is. He's calling honky wokeness what it is. Back in a second, Brian Suits here. Today and tomorrow at 770 KTTH, let's get you to work with Right Way Traffic. Here's an etiquette question. 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. I'm always listening to something. And, you know, there was a time, you know, when you, as I reach over and grab the actual handset, you know, if one of these was up against your ear, you didn't walk up to someone and say, hey, are you having the salmon or the chicken, you know, whatever. Then you're walking around with a cell phone, and somebody wouldn't walk up and say, you know, welcome to Best Buy, how can I help you? Because they get it that you're on the phone. And so I have earbuds in now, I'm like all the time. And I usually put them in because I don't want to interact. I know where I'm going in large electronic store or wherever, right? And I walk in and they go and I just see their mouths move or whatever, and they say, "Welcome to Nest Nye." I'm shielding the name, and I point to my ear because they can't see it because earbuds are so small these days. And I kind of shake my head and point to my ear. Is that a D move? Brady, have you ever worked in the service industry?
No.
Okay, well, but you've been to the service industry, right?
Yes.
Is that, I mean, I think it's sort of an understanding. I point to my ear and I'm like, oh see, it's tiny, can't see it. And I feel like they're like, oh, okay. Oh, sorry, and all that.
I mean, yeah, that is normal.
Is it rude?
It's not rude because even more today, ever since like Apple made their tiny little earbuds that go in your ear and you can barely see them unless you're looking for them, especially if you say something to somebody and you don't see them respond to you,
yeah.
That's your first thought is, oh.
Well, but those are white. They only come in white.
And there's other ones.
They have the little hang down. Apple do?
There's black ones that you can get.
Yeah, no one would see those on me. But also, before I get to murder, quick pro Christmas tip. As you're in line at large blue and yellow electronics store, I'm a aficionado of earbuds. Many of them can be very expensive, okay? I got bamboozled, and I bought some, like, workout JBL very expensive earbuds. And they wedge into my ear, and no matter what I do, I can't get them out, and that's terrific. I wouldn't go backcountry skiing with earbuds in anyway because I want to hear the cougar that kills me. But what I've noticed is you can spend $120 on earbuds because a certain billionaire West Coast rapper has his name on them, or as you're standing in line at Blue and Yellow store, they have a bunch of bins of like stocking stuffers. And because nothing will irritate you more than losing one earbud from a pair that cost you $140. And it's not hard to misplace one. But now the other one's worthless and you just flushed $140, you know, down the toilet. As you're in line, they sell earbuds with as good of audio quality for $9.99, and they have 6 hours of battery life. And you know, I honestly would rather buy 14 pair of those than replace the one that whose initials I gave you and that I bought. No one gave them to me. I bought them, so I'm out. And so, pro tip: if you happen to go to that store. Or you see a large store based in Missouri by the Walton family. If you see those earbuds and they're under $20 and you have someone that listens to podcasts like the Jason Rant Show or the DarkSecretPlace.com, buy those. Buy them four pair and give them a margin like that. Because, I mean, listen, I make a living sitting here with headphones on my head. And I'm here to tell you that the audio quality, especially if you listen to talk radio or for a phone call or podcast, they're as good. There's that. Breaking news, yogurt store, Federal Way murder.
Breaking news in Federal Way. This is at the Federal Way Crossing Shopping Center. And our photographer there at the scene says he has just seen a body covered up by police right there. We are not going to show that to you, but he says that it is near the Menchie's frozen yogurt shop. Witnesses tell him they heard gunshots before that large police presence showed up. That was just about 10 o'clock. This is off South 348th Street near Enchanted Parkway South.
I'm going to tell you there's a correlation between the gunshots and the body. You know, maybe I should be a detective, but and by the way, this is, by the way, Cairo last night. This is not breaking. This is breaking news at 10 p.m. last night. I don't know what news value there is anyway of showing a body under, you know, that's covered up. However, I think we can take it. But thanks for pointing out that you're not going to show us that. I guess it adds nothing to the story. But then again, you had no problem, you know, telling us what where it was located there at the strip mall in Via de los Federales, and I don't want this to reflect on Menchie's in any way. It's a terrific, you know, self-serve ice cream yogurt place.
See that parking lot now taped off. Several officers there. This will be an investigation scene.
Well, you know what? That brings up an interesting topic, and that would be murder. That'd be homicide. Let's go to one of about a dozen blue cities reporting, in spite of the media being in bed with the blue governments in L.A., San Francisco, Oregon, Seattle, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, etc. You can't escape a pile of 521 bodies as of Monday. Is this something of concern? Well, the George Soros-supported DA of Philadelphia says nothing to see here. Move along.
Good number of murders in the city this year. Philadelphia's former mayor is getting into a war of words with the current district attorney. It all started Monday when District Attorney Larry Krasner was asked whether people should be worried about coming into the city because of gun violence. Here's what he said then.
We don't have a crisis.
This is the white Democrat DA that Soros supported answering, why are there 521 dead bodies as of Monday, second week of December?
Of lawlessness, we don't have a...
He said then.
By the way, he does air fingers. Because you call it lawlessness, I call it organ donation.
We don't have a crisis of lawlessness. We don't have a crisis of crime. We don't have a crisis of violence. And that is a category that includes gun violence, but it also includes some pretty horrible stuff.
Former Mayor Michael Nutter responded to that comment with an op-ed in the Philadelphia Inquirer.
And I happen to have this here, Philadelphia's legendary news anchor guy. Former mayor, two-term mayor, black man, Michael Nutter. He oftentimes is on national TV. Sharp guy, the kind of guy that people like me that just want to see sensible people in office run. But he knows where the problem is. He said in an op-ed in the Philadelphia Inquirer on Monday, District Attorney Larry Krasner's recent remarks about whether we are experiencing a crime crisis are some of the worst, most ignorant, and most insulting comments I have ever heard spoken by an elected official. At a Monday press conference briefing, Krasner told reporters, quote, we don't have a crisis of lawlessness. We don't have a crisis of crime. We don't have a crisis of violence, close quote. It takes a certain audacity of ignorance and white privilege to say that right now. As of Monday night, 521 people, souls, spirits have been vanquished, eliminated, murdered in our city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, the most since 1960. I have to wonder what kind of messed up world of white wokeness Krasner is living in to have so little regard for human lives lost, many of them black and brown, while he advances his own national profile as a progressive district attorney. And by the way, the overwhelming majority of the 521 dead, the most since 1960, are Hispanic and black. And by the way, this year, generally, you're in the high 40s that homicide victims in America are approaching 50% per year and have been for years and years. This year, 2021, African-American victims will represent the majority of homicides. And overwhelmingly, they're killed by other African-Americans. Most homicide victims are killed by someone of their own race, oftentimes someone they know. But this year, 50% of the homicides in America will come from less than 10% of the population. And you hear it here. Michael Nutter, black man, two-term mayor, is finally calling out white wokeness. And I'm going to reread that paragraph. It takes a certain audacity of ignorance and white privilege to say that right now. As of Monday night, 521 people, souls, spirits have been vanquished, eliminated, and murdered in our city of brotherly love. The most since 1960. I have to wonder what kind of messed up world of white wokeness Krasner is living in to have so little regard for human lives lost, many of them black and brown, while he advances his own national profile as a progressive district attorney. And this is, by the way, that pattern, it is writ large across the country. The cost of white wokeness being called out, not by some guy in a studio in Seattle, Washington at 6:42 in the morning whose blood pressure is for some reason way too high, but by a former elected official, black man, two-term mayor in Philadelphia, Michael Nutter. I will tweet out his op-ed, by the way. It's terrific. Back in a second, Brian Suits here, 770KTTH. Let's get you to work with Right Way Traffic. KTTH. Brian Suits here today and tomorrow. The Prime Minister of Finland is apologizing for being Finnish. I don't know why. It's like the Zoom firing guy. Why, you might be asking? Well, she was out clubbing on. If you're unaware of what that means, it means drinking. She was out drinkifying there in Helsinki, and she left her official phone back at her crib, and she missed an alert that she should isolate. Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin apologized to the public on Wednesday after a photo surfaced of her in a nightclub following the foreign minister testing positive for COVID-19. Also, she tested positive for being a smoke show. Quote, "I did wrong. I should have considered the situation more carefully," close quote, she said in a television interview by blah, 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 blah. She decided not to cut her night out short on Saturday after being told she had been exposed to the coronavirus the day before. Economic Affairs Minister Mika Lintilä attended a floorball match between Finland and Latvia on Sunday, despite being advised to avoid contact. Brady, can you look up floorball?
You want to look up floorball?
Floorball.
Okay.
I think it's a Finnish metaphor for the SEX or something. You know? Hey, you want to play floorball, he said. But so anyway, whatever that is, the economic affairs minister attended a floorball match.
It's an indoor floor hockey.
Oh, really? It's why isn't it not December there? Why are they playing hockey?
Floorball. They're not Canada?
Are you kidding? Look at the Olympic final. Look who's in the finals or bronze. But yeah, no, they invented ice in Finland, by the way.
They invented ice.
Yes, that's copyright Finland.
Do they get royalties?
Year four. So anyway, I'm no judge because I'm not a pig. Number one, I'm not a pig. But some would say that she's the kind of person, it wouldn't break your heart. Out clubbing with and all that. I don't have it. I'm not going to play the audio. But Jimmy Fallon made the joke. The last time Joe Biden went clubbing, he was hunting seals. Speaking of inventing ice, hey, how about the Washington State Patrol, everybody? And let me just say this before we roll the story. Because I know what a complete shocker. Yesterday around 1 p.m., Snoqualmie Pass was I-90 at Snoqualmie Pass was closed. And let's go to the to our source material.
A winter
on this one.
Storm warning is in effect for the Cascades of Snohomish and Keene County, as well as Western Chelan County. You're looking live now at video from Snoqualmie Pass,
yep,
and you see
stopped.
All the taillights there. I-90 eastbound closed at about 1:30 today so that crews could clear vehicles that were not chained up and spun out, and it is still closed.
I'm sorry, wait. Wait.
Chains are required for all vehicles today so that crews could clear vehicles.
You mean plow the snow out of the road, because there's no other way that you would need to close a federal highway. Altitude and snow shouldn't close it. So you mean you're plowing snow out of the way, right?
That were not chained up and spun out, and it is still closed. Chains are required for all vehicles.
Okay. I don't want to be that guy. Y'all understand, I'm from here. I'm a West Sider that went to the Washington State University. So I'm not alone when I say this. But I'm going to list Western states that enforce chain requirements. Okay, pay attention. Idaho can't get across a mountain pass unless you pass an Idaho State Trooper and he lets you go. Oregon State Police, as they're called, they don't let you go from Eugene to Bend unless you pass a trooper either in his car or in a little hut on the highway and you have traction devices or four-wheel drive. Okay. Nevada, same deal. From Reno up to Donner Pass, no, you can't even go past a Nevada State Patrolman. And this is, you know, I don't want to say this. Don't make me say it. California, you head out of Sacramento, going east, go past Auburn. There is a state trooper in a little fishing hut. You merge down to single file, and on your way up Donner Pass to go lose all your money in Reno, and he says, he looks down at your car, and he goes, okay, you can go, turn around, you can turn around. Now, turn around means you don't have a traction device or you don't have tires or your rear wheel drive and you know, you're wrong. So you can turn around and right then and there, there's guys that will sell you chains and put them on for you. And they make a mint. You have to have a license. Same as in Oregon. Okay, what state didn't I mention? I don't know why this has gone on for this long, but it used to annoy the crap out of me. When I used to wake up, I started at Cairo from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. I would wake up early. I moved to Snoqualmie, city of Snoqualmie, so that I could save an hour and be up there to ski. And this annoyed me because you heard why they closed the pass, not because of snow or altitude or ice, but because cars had spun out. Why'd they spin out? Because they were up there and they didn't have chains on. Well, why were they up there without chains on? Why did the state patrol allow them to go by? So, I mean, I'm asking honestly, it's been going on. I'm here to tell you, decades. One time I was stuck. I-90 eastbound was closed at Cle Elum. We were all the way back in Ellensburg waiting for cars that had spun out, usually driven by Pi-Fis from Wazoo, to be cleared. Why were they even let up there? Just a little thing, just a note from around the West as I come back, hopefully with an improvement. Back in a second, Brian Suits here today, tomorrow, 770 KTTH. Let's jam your traffic. We'll be back. The parents are shutting up. They know where their missing 5-year-old girl is. Are drugs involved in Grays Harbor? We'll get to that. And the Sawant margin narrows. We'll have that hour number two. Brian Suits here, 770 KTTH, right way traffic.